when they had eaten so much that they could hardly move, they saw a pitchfork that the farmer had left sitting there in the field, and they went and sat on the handle. And they were just sitting there, sort of lazily enjoying the sun. And finally one said, "Well, I can't stay here all day. I've got to go find where I'm going to live." So he flew off and went south, and the other two sitting on the handle saw him go off, and suddenly he just dropped down dead. The second one said, "Well, if he went south and he dropped down dead, then I'm going to go north." And he flew north, and the one that was left saw him suddenly drop down dead. And he thought, "Well, one went south and one went north, and they both dropped down dead, then I better keep on going west." And he went west, and he dropped down dead. Now, the moral of that story is, you don't fly off the handle if you're full of prunes. But I told that more than just to get you to laugh. Let's use it as an illustration. They lived in Illinois, and other crows started telling them about something nicer called California, outside of themselves. So they went out to California. They got there, and they saw a food that they'd never had before, and so they overate outside, something new outside of themselves. Then one went south, one went north, one went west, to outside places. Everything outside of themselves. And then even with the moral of the story, you wouldn't fly off the handle if you had perfect intelligence. And you wouldn't be full of prunes if you had perfect intelligence. You see, they were taking it all outside themselves, and so it was disastrous for them. Only by understanding God and His nature and the true sense of man, and then wholeheartedly accepting this understanding to the complete exclusion of the presence of mortal mind, can we demonstrate the kingdom that's going to give us dominion over the seeming mortal mind forces of the earth. Mortal mind unconsciously accepts a great sense of limitation. We believe we have only so many years to be active, and then we have to retire. We believe that as we go along and get older, we don't have a sharp acumen of our senses as we had earlier, but we lose strength. We think we might lose eyesight. We lose health. Only we think we've only got so much supply. It's our whole material existence is a sense of limitation. Now, Mr. Kimball used to tell his pupils that the way to break the sense of limitation was to study infinity and eternity. And we have to get the understanding of those two words in us to really see that we are not limited mortals. Infinity is unlimited. It includes inexhaustible qualities that never stop flowing. A little girl once described infinity as that which has no ends. Infinity has no beginning and no end. It exists every place that space claims to be, but it exists in place of space. It knows no limitation, no withholding, and no reserve. It never experiences any form of lack or expects to experience a lack of itself. It always has all the abilities and actions necessary to express perfection under every circumstance. It knows nothing about decay. It isn't expressed through the finite. It expresses itself in place of the finite. Finite beliefs attempts to put the infinite into so-called heads and make people. This causes a belief of God's many, a denial of the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other mind before me." You can't have many minds, conflicting desires, varying concepts, and competitive aspirations in the infinite. God is the only person and expresses himself in countless infinite forms, all forms of himself, all fitting together to show forth his desires, his fullness. These are sensationless spiritual forms filled with infinite qualities imparted and activated by Spirit alone. Infinity holds these forms in a perfect condition where there's no room for the limited mortal counterfeit. Therefore, there's no room for the belief that seems to stem from mortals who says, I've got to get over something. Man is already over all discord and all limitation because he's never been able to be in it or even know about it. Now, eternity wipes out all belief of time and establishes the fact that all is now. Eternity is accepted within. Time is a factor of the without. And if you have a consciousness filled with the understanding of eternity, you can push that external factor called time out of your consciousness and therefore out of your experience, and you won't have the effects of it. Without time, eternity could never express deterioration or age, and it would never stop and become death. It contains no error. It only knows permanent good. It knows nothing about the lapse of a year, a day, a minute. Time is just non-existent. Some physicists have said that there's no reason why time should flow on. It could just as easily stand still or go backwards, except that thought expects it to advance. What would time have to do with us? If we understood we dwelt in eternity, where all that is going on is the continuous unfoldment of the good we need to express in whatever way we need to express it. If there is no time, then there's no age and no effect from it. Someone once asked Paul Stark Seeley how old he was, and he said, that's none of my business. Well, you can see that if you're dwelling on eternity, you can't take the time to think about something external calling itself age trying to impose itself upon you. It's not part of you. Not if you are dwelling in the eternal and you know that you're the very expression of eternity. If we really understood infinity and eternity, we would offset through our conscious understanding all the beliefs from the outside that would try to crowd in and make us believe we're limited mortals. Mortal mind is always saying, well, tomorrow my ship will come in. Maybe tomorrow I'll get my healing.